to see that here. Amen. If you look around this morning, you've seen how busy things have been. That is exactly what we're starting to see. So that is a good thing. That's a very exciting thing. However, generally, when anytime there's growth, there's changes that have to happen. I preached the whole message on this last week. We're going to look at a target more specific area this evening. Remember, we made the statement that a growing church is always in transition. When somebody's birthed into your family, things have to change, right? If a new baby is born into the family, you got to have a nursery. The function and the way that you live changes when you start to have children birthed into your family. It's the same concept when children of God are start to be born into God's family. So what we're looking at here today, there's about four or five things that we're going to look at, church, to help us to keep things in perspective as the church continues to move forward. Did you notice there that it said that, as we mentioned, the number of the disciples multiplied? So the first thing that we mentioned there is the prosperity of the Lord. Amen. I want to remind you today that the most important thing that we need to be excited about today is the fact that God is still saving souls. Amen. God is still in the soul-saving business. Now, we gave some praises tonight. We gave some testimonies tonight. And I'm thankful for each and every one of those things. But I believe, as the Bible says, when there's rejoicing in heaven, there should be rejoicing here. And let me just remind you, church, the main objective for God having us here is twofold. One is to help the Christians here continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also it's to reach people with the gospel in this community. You'll start to see that in other places in the book of Acts, it says that they would publish the word of God. And that's our duty and that's our responsibility. And we do that through several different ways. Obviously, through the preaching, we use live stream. We hand out gospel tracts. We do that in many different ways to publish the word of God in this community. And friend, when we stop keeping souls as the top priority in what we do in every ministry that we have, then friend, we've lost our focus in what we're supposed to do. So we see where it says the number of the disciples multiplied. That's the prosperity of the Lord. And I want to tell you, friends, there's churches that are a lot larger here that aren't seeing people get saved just about every week now. Amen? And that's something that we can only continue to do if we continue to be faithful to preach and teach the Word of God, if we continue to welcome people. Amen? I think that's a big thing. Welcome people when they come into the house of God. Make them feel like they matter. Make them feel like they're special. Make them feel like, hey, you were glad that you're here. They don't want to come back. If you think about all the people that's getting saved, most of them did not get saved the very first time that they came. In fact, I've heard it said that it takes the average person about seven times of hearing the gospel before they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of those have been more, some of those have been less. But there is a prosperity of the Lord. And so, church, let us never take that for granted. Let us never take that for granted that we just assume, well, people are going to get saved. No, we ought to be on our knees thanking God. We ought to be praising the Lord for the blessing that He has brought upon us. Now, as a result of that, there arose a need or a problem, you might even say. A good kind of problem, but let me show you what I'm talking about. When the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, these must have been Baptist folks, right? So how do you know they were Baptist folks? Because they were murmuring, amen? They were complaining about some things, amen? All the time, you'll be surprised sometimes how much you hear that. Now, don't take that wrong, amen? Don't take that personal. But oftentimes you hear murmuring, why we do this, why don't we do that, and all these kind of things. Now, let me say something real quick. This is just for the church again. This is just for people here at Florence Baptist Church, so nobody else get offended by this. But let's never get to the place where we participate in the murmuring but don't participate in helping to solve the problems, right? You know, everybody wants to have a say in how to do things, but not everybody wants to take their part in helping accomplish the problem, right? You know, everybody wants a vote. You know, how come I didn't get to vote? How come I didn't get to have my say? But let's not ever get to the place where we have our vote and we have our murmuring and never be part of the solution. Amen? That's all I'm saying about that. But nevertheless, they were a growing. There was a problem as a result, and that's a good problem to have. Hey, I'm glad to be starting to run out of seats on a Sunday morning. Amen. We run out of seats, and praise God. I'll start stacking them up here on the podium with us. We'll start putting seats up wherever we got to do. I mean, this is something that I've got to witness before. We're running out of places in the pews and have to get out metal folding chairs and just put them. That's a good problem, folks. So when I say problem, the first thing is to see the prosperity of God. But the second thing, that there was a problem. And the problem was that because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, this is just an example. Understand, this is what's going on in the church here, in the early church here. There was a ministry to the widows that started to be neglected. And do you know why that ministry started to be neglected? You might not know this, but it's because the pastor couldn't do it all. The pastor can't do every ministry. The pastor can't handle every single function of the local church work. And for the record, he shouldn't, because that means that less and less people are participating that should be a part of the ministry, right? So the priority or the prosperity or the blessing was that people were getting saved, disciples were being saved, people were being added to the church, and the church was growing. The problem is, when you have more people, guess what people bring? I remember a wise preacher one time said that the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Now, some of you got that, didn't you? Obviously, the ministry is about the people, and obviously he meant that in jest. But friend, oftentimes people say, well, pastor, if we only had more people yes, that's true in one way, but more people bring problems, right? It just compounds certain things. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm getting to the point here. I'm not complaining about anything that we're talking about tonight. Part of my duty and responsibility is to teach the church as it continues to grow, is to help keep things in perspective on what's going on. So when we start to make adjustments, when we start to make changes, when we have to make other arrangements, we understand that it's a result of the church that's growing, right? And if you remember last week, it's not that we don't like change. It's often our unwillingness to change that we don't want to participate in. So people say all the time, pastor, I don't like change. I want things exactly how they are now. Well, then when you make statements like that, you're saying you don't want more people to be saved. Are you with me? So either we want people to be saved and we want the church to grow, or we want things to remain the exact same as they are now. Now, as a Bible-believing Christian, should we want to see people get saved? Should we desire to see people just go ahead and die without Christ? No. So obviously things have to change. So when churches start to grow, hey, guess what, Baptist folks? It means that you might not get to sit in the same place you sat out every week. That means you might walk in one day and somebody's in your pew, right? So, oh boy, they sat in my spot. I don't know what to do. I just don't know if I can worship God if I'm not sitting in my pew, right? I've had sometimes people say, well, pastor, I wasn't able to sit in my seat, so I wasn't able to worship. That's okay. We weren't worshiping you anyway, right? Amen. It's not about us, folks. Now, that's funny. I realize that most of us are mature to be able to handle not sitting in our spot. But what if you did have to move? What if you got to move to the other side of the church? Amen? Well, it's one of those things that we just have to be prepared as the God continues to bless and God continues to add to the church that we need to be conscious of. But the problem here was that the ministry of the widows was being neglected because those that were preaching and teaching the Word of God couldn't handle everything. They couldn't do it all. So we see the prosperity or blessing of the Lord. We see the problem or the need that started to arise that was a neglected thing. So just keep in mind, folks, that sometimes if things get neglected, it's not intentional. This means that one person or two persons or even three persons can't do it all. But then he says in verse number 2, I want you to notice this. This is very important for us to understand. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. It is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve. So we mentioned the prosperity of the Lord. We've seen the problem. But then I want you to understand the priority. So what is the priority as far as coming from a pastor's perspective? It tells us right there in verse number 2 and verse number 4. First of all, it says, not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables, in verse number 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the what? The Word. There's two basic responsibilities that God has given a pastor. That is the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Word. Right? Now, again, don't take none of this wrong, church. It's not counseling. It's not making all the visits. It's not making sure everything is cleaned up. It's not making sure everything's put away. It's not overseeing every aspect, not directly involved in every aspect of the ministry. Those are all part of the ministry, part of the work of God. All I'm saying, friend, is I'm trying to gear our minds that as we continue to grow, the whole point in saying this is that we have to have other people step up and help and participate in these kind of ministries, right? Everybody would agree it's a blessing to see the church grow. It's a blessing to see these things happen. It's a blessing to see souls saved. If the function of the church starts to change, that means that we have to have more people in place to step up and start to take on some of that burden. Because according to the Word of God, I didn't say it, but according to the Word of God, my main duty and responsibility is to preach and teach the Word of God in the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, with that being said, I do counsel. With that being said, I do help when there's a work day. With that being said, I help as much as I possibly can. This is just a reminder, church, that it's not for one person or a group of people to take on the whole burden of the ministry, that at some point we have to realize, what can I do? How can I help? What is it that I'm not doing now that I'm capable of doing? Now, there's some things that scripturally speaking, there needs to be spiritual growth. There needs to be, for example, somebody who teaches Sunday school. That's not just something that we're going to just put somebody in. Well, there has to be a good reason for that. With somebody that's proven themselves, spiritually speaking, mature, sound in the faith. Amen. I'm not just going to put somebody in teaching position. We don't know them. We don't know anything about them. There's a proving time that the Bible speaks about. All I'm trying to do, church, again tonight, is help us to get used to this idea that as the church continues to grow, changes have to be made. Okay? So we've seen the prosperity. We've seen the problem, the priority. And then there was a process here. There was a process that they had. In verse number 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." You know what they're saying? Let's look at some people that, first of all, are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom who we can appoint. In other words, who can we put in charge of this ministry here? Who can we trust to do this particular work of God? And, of course, it talked about the process that they went to. They went through these. They looked through these candidates. And then in verse number 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So there was a process. First of all, they were looking. If you look, it says people full of the Holy Ghost. That means that they were looking. First of all, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got to be a saved person. Amen. You know, we're not in the business of putting people over ministries who's not been saved. Second of all, I think it should be a separated person. In other words, they've already grown. They've already had the process of sanctification in their life. They've already gone closer to the Lord. I think they ought to be a spiritual person. In other words, not just at church, but how they are outside of church. You do realize when somebody's placed in a leadership position, they're a reflection of the church, aren't they? And that doesn't just mean here. You know, it's easy to come to the house of God and wave our Bibles and put on a smile, and that's good, and I'm glad that you do. But friend, we're also concerned with how you live outside the church as well. And then, of course, it mentions a wise person. You know, everybody here, I believe, needs more wisdom. In fact, I've always felt, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I talked about it in the book of James. I feel like I've always not had enough. But friend, with God's help, you can get some wisdom. You can grow in that area spiritually in your life. So those are just a couple thoughts on the kind of people that were appointed into this ministry. Now, I will say, I also do believe this is probably where the idea of the first deacons came into play. You know, a deacon is essentially a servant. And the Bible gives scriptural qualifications for a deacon. Now, we get all that and get down to verse number 7. And here's really where the ultimate goal is. And verse after they did this, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, every single person here ought to have a desire for the word of God to increase. We ought to have a desire for there to continue to be more disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. And for the record, what is our Jerusalem? Right here in Florence, right? We're not talking about right now, we're applying to Florence Baptist Church. We're not talking about Jerusalem literally in our sense. But our Jerusalem is right here in Florence and in Coolidge and Pinellas, the immediate surrounding area here. We should have a burden for this community. Hey, God called us here for this area, I'm not interested in living somewhere else. I'm interested in living here and being a part of this community because this is where God has placed us, right? I hear all the times, I don't personally understand it. You know, a pastor will be pastoring a church here and live 3 hours away. I don't personally see how that's possible. That's just me. You know, if God's called you to a place, then you ought to go there and be amongst the people, if you will, right? But you see, because of that, when everybody got on board with that vision, see, this is one of the hardest part for ministry growth is people to get on board with the vision. Because they like things the way they used to be. I told you about my friend who, when we changed the doors out, not here, somewhere else, and to make improvements to the church, and she'd come in and say, "Well, Pastor, I don't like it." "Why not?" "I don't know. It's just different. I don't like it," right? And sometimes we don't even understand why we don't like something other than the fact that it's different. But friend, ultimately it comes back to this, and I got to share the verse with you. The Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." And at the end of the day, if we don't have a desire to see people saved, then it's going to always be a hindrance to our church growth. If we don't have a willingness to change ourselves, then it's going to always be a hindrance to the furtherance of the gospel in this community. And I'll just tell you right now, church, I've always determined that I will always be a part of a church that is interested in reaching the community with the gospel. Otherwise, I'm probably the wrong guy for the job. Because I will continue to push and press towards increasing the Word of God. Let me say something. If you haven't figured it out yet, there's people in this community that are lost without Christ, dying and going to hell. I want to tell you, friend, you're not seeing any good news happening in the world today. Things are not getting better out there. And if there's ever a time to buckle down and get serious about increasing and multiplying the Word of God and adding more disciples to the church, the time is now. And the reality is we simply don't know how much time that we have left. I mean, look at all the things that's going on today. You know, this whole thing, and it's a touchy subject. I was reading something the other day that talked about, well, you know, Jesus would have socially distanced. Probably somebody's going to get offended as soon as I say this. You say, well, Jesus would have socially distanced, and maybe that's true, but what I do read in the Bible is that when somebody had leprosy, he came to him and touched him. He came down to him in mission. To me, he didn't socially distance, church. And you know what's happened as a result is we've socially distanced from God instead of the whole point and the purpose of what is meant behind that. And oftentimes, Christians have used that more as an excuse today to get further away from the Lord. Right? But yet Jesus, when he saw a leper, he didn't say, I'm glad that he didn't socially distance from that leper. And I believe those lepers probably were glad he didn't socially distance from them. Because he came down and touched them and put a healing on their life. And friend, we're living in such a day now where we're living in such fear of everything, walking around living in fear. And I'm not trying to be insensitive, church. I'm really not. All I'm saying is that the society today has us, whether you want to admit it or not, they have us living in fear of even gathering together in the house of God. But yet Jesus touched lepers. Don't tell me that the day is not today to start to increase the Word of God. And every time we preach something like this, everybody, Pastor, that sounds good. Yes, we need to further the gospel, and that's great. I'm glad that you agree with me. But don't just agree with me. Tell me what you're going to do to help increase the Word of God. What part are you going to take in increasing the Word of God? Friend, the time to get serious about these things is now. The time to realize that the need to further the gospel is today. It's not tomorrow. Oh, well, Pastor, we're going to wait until things get better. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I don't think things are going to get any better than they are now. In fact, I believe they're going to get much, much worse. So when are we going to get serious, church? I'm not saying that you're not. It's a general question. But when are we going to get serious about increasing the Word of God? Let's go back through this again. Now that we've seen this, if you notice again, it began with a problem. And when they got people on board that were willing to be appointed and take on the burden and the work of the ministry, then the Word of God increased. In verse number 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. I've always had to see the need to take the lead philosophy, folks. You see a problem, you see an area that needs to be done, then what can you do or how can you recruit help to get that job done? Verse number 2, we've seen the prosperity. There was a blessing there. There was a problem because certain things were being neglected. And let me just say this, folks. If you start to see things being neglected, just please be patient. Amen. Just please be patient. And you know, I hesitate mentioning things like this, but I think sometimes people forget I also work a full-time job. Amen. And hey, guess what? I have a wife and four kids that need their daddy and need their father. And you know, one of the things I've learned that I've been through things. If you move on from a church, the church sometimes forgets about you, but guess who are the ones that are with you? It's these ones on the front row. Now, that's not intended to be not intended to be mean or ugly. I'm just telling you. I'm just reminding you that pastors have families too, and pastors need days off too. Pastors can't do it all. And to be honest with you, church, I've been overwhelmed with some things lately. It's not easy to work a full-time job, leave straight from work, and come straight into the pulpit and preach and teach, counsel, and do all those things. It's not easy. Now, I didn't say I was afraid of the hard work. I didn't say I wasn't thankful. I said that it's overwhelming sometimes. And I get it. I get it. So I'm trying to encourage us as a church, because not one person can continue on that pace. Because you know what happens is they burn out. And oftentimes pastors are the worst about helping everybody else, but not taking time to help themselves or even their own family. It happens, folks. It's a reality. Unfortunately, these are things that I've learned the hard way. And, you know, so if we get invited to something and I can't make it, don't get offended because I can't make it. Because I can't make every birthday party. I can't make every event. I can't participate in every little thing. I can't do it all. But the reality is, folks, keep things in proper perspective. God has called us to preach and teach the Word of God. That is our primary duty. That is our primary responsibility. So we've seen that there was it's a blessing. Boy, it's a blessing to see the church grow. That's the prosperity of God. There was a problem as a result of that. You have more people. There's more problems. Things start to get neglected. But then we have to take a look at the priority. And the priority is that pastors and their duty and responsibility is that they should not leave the Word of God to serve tables. Now, with that being said, I've got no problem serving people. I have never had a problem doing that. I love to serve people. I'm not above serving people. All I'm saying is that that's not our main priority. That's not our main duty. And then, of course, there was the process, or let me add to that, but we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And that was the process. They started to appoint people in that ministry, and then in verse 7, and the Word of God increased. And that's my desire, church. The ultimate goal and desire is for the Word of God to increase in your personal lives, but also in this community. Why do you think that if you start to study the Bible, you start to, especially throughout the New Testament, you'll start to see that Paul told Timothy to train and teach and equip men that they may teach others also? Why do you think that is? In other words, set you up these group of men, teach them so that they can teach other people. So that they can be appointed over other people, so that they can take on some of the work and the burden of the ministry. It talks about in Ephesians for the perfecting of the saints, right? Part of that perfecting of the saints is teaching everyone here how to take up their torch and participate in the work of God. Now, I've always been a believer, church, that everybody has a duty and a responsibility here in the ministry, in the church. No, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, everybody can do something, right? Say, Pastor, what can I do? Get with me. There's all kinds of needs. There's all kinds of things that can be done. You know, there's things that can be done that sometimes we don't think about. Let me give you an example. If you see somebody missing, you haven't seen them in a while, anybody can pick up the phone call and check on them. Anybody can pick up the phone. Say, hey, we missed you. You okay? Have you been sick? Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Is there something I can do? Hey, anybody can help pick up water bottles after the service and make sure things are cleaned up. Amen. Anybody can get a broom and sweep off the sidewalks outside. You know, well, not anybody, most people. But what I'm saying, folks, is that there's something that everybody can do. So if your goal is to increase the Word of God, then you understand this vision. You'll get on board with that. If it's not, then probably nothing's going to change you. You know, one of the things I've come to find out, you can't help someone change if they don't see what they're doing as a problem, if they don't see the need to change, right? If you kind of the idea you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, if people don't see the need to change, they're not going to change. If we don't see the need for the Word of God to increase today, then they're just simply not going to participate in that. But friend, it's just a reminder here tonight, really simple, nothing complicated, nothing fancy. I didn't get too wound up tonight, But these are kind of practical things that we need to understand and know as the church continues to grow. And I'm glad that it is. Boy, it was busy this morning. Praise God. I mean, first-time visitors, just about every week, people getting saved. That's a good thing, church. Ultimately, this is not a part, well, oh, no, pastor's about to quit. I'm not about to quit. I'm a lot tougher than you think that I am. What I am saying is that I've been in it long enough to know when I need to start teaching the church that, hey, other folks has got to step up. And we're getting really, really close to that, where we need folks to say, hey, I'm willing to take up the torch and do my part. So it's a blessing to have a packed house, blessing to have people get saved, blessing to have people continue and come into the house of God. All that's great and wonderful, but it's time to start asking ourselves the question, what can I do? What can I do to help increase the Word of God? Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask the pianist to come. Church, maybe tonight the question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I concerned about the furtherance of the gospel? Am I concerned about seeing more people come to know Christ as their personal Savior? Am I willing to take up, to do my part to help further the work of God? I think sometimes we think, well, because I'm not on the platform or I'm not doing this, that it's not a worthy cause. Friend, anything that you do for the Lord is worthy. Anything that you do for the Lord is an honorable thing. It makes no difference what it is. And friend, as the church continues to grow, the needs are going to become greater. Maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. What can I do? What kind of changes can I make in my personal life, in my personal walk with the Lord? Would you allow God to speak to your heart tonight, friend? How about you? Maybe there's someone here today that's never come to a saving knowledge of you. I'm well aware of the fact that the message tonight was primarily geared for not just Christians, but particular members here at Florence Baptist Church. But if you're here tonight, friend, you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, as we did this morning and we'll do tonight, and our intention is every service, we want to give you that chance and an opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you never trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, would you come? Would you come? How about you, friend? If you're here tonight, don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Or maybe God spoke to your heart tonight about doing your part to help increase the Word of God. Any Christian with any kind of godly passion about them desires to see people saved. And if we desire to see people saved, that means we're willing to do our part. That means that we're willing to pitch in. Otherwise, church, why are we here? The church is not here for the purpose of a food bank ministry. The church is not here for the purpose of a school ministry. That is not our main goal. That is not our main objective. Those are good ministries of the church, but without the church, there is no food bank and there is no school. I'm glad that we're able to help people in the community. I love the fact that we can help feed people. I love the fact that we can help educate kids. That is not our main goal. The main goal that's given us here, increasing of the Word of God, so that the number of disciples can be multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. You can say Florence if you want. Some folks are still praying. Maybe tonight God spoke to your heart. Whatever that need is, friend, maybe it's something else. Maybe you've got another burden. As the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When I think about the Apostle Paul's desire to increase the Word of God, I gave you that scripture out of Romans chapter 10, but I also want to give you a scripture in Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You know what he's saying, friend? He had such a burden to see people get saved. He had such a burden to further the gospel that he would have, if he could, he had such love and passion for them that he would have cursed himself from Christ if it meant them being saved. A sincere passion and burden for souls. Was it possible, of course. How serious are you, friend, about reaching people with the gospel, about increasing the Word of God? The day is today, friend. Time to get serious about reaching souls. Let me ask this question. I'm going to pray. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to do my part to increase the gospel. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put them down. Pastor, I want to do my part to increase the Word of God. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. I'm really touched by the burden of so many people here this evening. Thank you for your desire, church. I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for tonight. God, we can't help but praise you and thank you for what you're doing. And God, you know, you know more than I do, we've been fatigued lately. Haven't felt the best. But God, you're blessing. And Lord, I know as the church grows, you can continue to send help. And Lord, several lifted their hands tonight, saying they're willing to do their part. They have a desire to see the Word of God increased. Lord, I pray that you would open up doors and opportunities for them. Lord, I don't even know, and I don't even have all the answers this evening. But Lord, you have a duty and a responsibility for each and every person here. There's not a person here this evening that you don't have a plan and a purpose for them, and it's proven by the fact that they're standing here breathing. Lord, they're still here, and that confirms that you're not through with them. And I pray that all of us, Lord, would strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let us fight the good fight together. Help us each, Lord, stand together and to hold each other up. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for those who lifted their hands. I pray that you'd help them meet that need in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. So glad to have you.